You have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Some of you guys may recognize some of these verses. They've been sang back in the days as songs, actually. And I'm sure, I'll just say it before Nola gets a chance, they probably have a praise move for it. There you go. That's what it's. Scripture sequence. That's the word I was looking for. Sweet. Praise the Lord. Psalm 96. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for all you're doing in our lives. Such a privilege to be seen in your presence. And so let us take your presence with us wherever we go, that they may know that there is a God that lives and dwells in the heavens and operates through the children of man. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Now let me just make a statement before we get into this. This is a twofold psalm. It's a psalm of praise, and it's a psalm of the coming judgment. And of course, with us being prophecy buffs around here, we know the Lord is coming soon, and his second coming is a coming of judgment. And one might say, well, a song of praise and a coming of judgment doesn't go together. Well, tell that to the psalmist, because that's what this psalm is. And so we'll see how it flows. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes just love hearing a new praise song or a new gospel song. Sometimes I like hearing an old one that I've forgotten because it's new. You know, some of those Jimmy Swaggerts we were listening to during prayer, that it was just kind of refreshing, that I wanted to get up and shout and run around the chairs on that I Will Not Be Denied. Wasn't a traditional prayer song, but you hear that and you're like, yeah, boy. What energy that thing packs. So the psalmist, you know, we think of psalms as being exhortational or comfort, but we don't think of them as instructional. You know, when we think of the Old Testament, thou shall not, as instructional, we think of the Beatitudes, thou shalls, as instructional, Beatitudes. But we don't think of psalms, but it starts out telling us what to do. It says, sing to the Lord. And it doesn't just say sing a new song. I think we should introduce new songs periodically in our worship. We want it to be fresh. We don't want to keep saying, how would it be if I preached the same sermon every 3 months? You know, we want new songs. We want to, oh, you know. Now, I told Nola when she started doing our worship, I said, introduce a new song. Don't introduce three in one service, because it's hard to worship the Lord when you're learning a new song, because you're reading along, you've never heard it, you know, maybe one. But it's good to sing a new song. It's good to hear a song and just be blessed by the words and how the artist put them together. And so this is instructional. This is telling us to sing to the Lord a new song. Now, sometimes a new song can be one that comes from our spirit. Amen. It can be a form of worship, and we can just begin to praise God. And I know how many of you guys have done that before. We just start singing to the Lord, and the words coming out of your mouth are a new song by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that could be a new song too. And he tells us to sing to the Lord all the earth. This is not just Tahlequah. This is not Oklahoma. This is not United States. This is North America, South America, Australia, New Guinea, Africa, all of Europe, all of the coastal areas. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and it is the earth and the inhabitants of the earth that should be singing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. And, you know, we sometimes act like spoiled children asking the Lord to bless us, but we are to bless the Lord. Amen. We are to say, you know, and you know, when we sing to the Lord, that is blessing the Lord, isn't it? When he hears us worship the Lord, he like, you know, Gabriel, listen to that. Listen to my daughter down there. You know, come over here, angels. You know, and the angels, they can't sing some of the songs we sing. They will never know how to sing Amazing Grace. because they've never been lost to be redeemed. And so we have the ability to sing a song the angels cannot sing. And so that blesses the Lord. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And I have to tell you, sometimes I fall short in this area, but as I was reading and meditating on this psalm, I thought, you know, I should start setting a goal every day to say to somebody, you know, Jesus loves you and he wants to take you to heaven. I should set that as a personal goal. If we don't set a personal goal to do that, as this instructional psalm says, day by day or day to day, telling the good news of his salvation, we are in violation of Psalm 96. We could get pulled over and get a ticket for that. I'm being silly. But this is what God said. This is the word of God. The word of Almighty God says, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. So if you can't say amen like that, say ouch. But let's do that. Let's challenge ourselves. Declare his glory among the nations. I know a couple of you have seen an article I did about Mark Twain that I posted. And I'm going to include that in our prophecy update. The idea is that, you know, are we living in the last days? Undoubtedly, when you see the fingerprint of God that started in 1867, 1970, 1967, 2017, all these years of Jubilee fulfilling the last day requirement of Israel coming back to their land. We are definitely living in the last days. And so we should declare his glory. You know, that's a glorious thing that the Lord has done in our right before our eyes. And so those of you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I guess you'll know Saturday. But his wonders among the people. And that is certainly a wonder how God did that. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Now, I know we sing this song, Nola. Lord is great and greatly to be praised, right? Singing to the Lord a new song. Don't we sing this? Yeah. Lord, a new song. It's kind of one of those little Jewish-sounding songs, right? So we do that. We do that. We should do that again one of these days soon. I like those Jewish-sounding praise songs. Those are awesome. And that word, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, for people who don't believe in God, how can you tell them the capital G God is to be feared above all gods? Well, they say, well, I don't really believe in God, so that doesn't mean anything to me. So clearly, this is not written to the unbeliever. This is written to you and I. And we don't have a bunch of little demigods, little statues. You know, they said some of the areas of Israel, when they excavated it, back to the Babylonian siege, they found all these little statue gods that Israel had on all these people, you know. And that's why Israel was conquered. That's why God allowed the Babylonians to come in and destroy them. They had so backslidden, they had all these little teeny idols that they had on their little shelves. And this is the idol to Moloch. And, oh, if you rub its head, you get good luck. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying that. It's the way people do. And so we don't have that, but we do have things that we spend more time with than we do the Lord. And those are just as much little gods as... And so we need to make sure that he is to be feared above all gods, for he is for he is the God of gods. Amen? All the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You know, if you're witnessing to someone who does believe in some false god other than Jesus Christ in the only way, you know, that's what Paul did. You know, I want to talk to you about this unknown God who made heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. You know, just spread it out like a giant canvas. You know, because I can tell you that people who worship other little g gods, they don't have the scope of grandeur of their gods that the Bible describes or ascribes to the living God, the maker of heaven and earth. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. I love that, don't you? This is not the Lord's sanctuary. This is our sanctuary, and we invite him in. The Lord's sanctuary is strength and beauty. Those purple mountain majesties we sing about, you know, those glorious, have you ever seen those giant cliffs with giant waterfalls falling down in that beautiful, clear, not mud-colored water like Oklahoma lakes, but that beautiful green water? You know, that's the glory of God. He made that. And that's his, the beauty of his sanctuary. And so the psalmist says, give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Now, this is interesting. I thought God was stronger than everybody. How can I give him strength? How can I give God strength? He's already strong. God is strong, but it goes back to what I just said about proclaiming his strength. You know, when David faced the giant, the God of Israel was not strong in their eyes. It took a young David to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Because he recognized the God he served was stronger than Goliath. And so when the psalmist says, give to the Lord glory and strength, we need to be David's proclaiming to a faithless and a lost generation that the God we serve, come on church, the God we serve, are you hearing me tonight? The God we serve is bigger than the Muslims. He's bigger than ISIS. He's bigger than the threat of thermonuclear war. He's bigger than wasps flying around. He's bigger. Amen. He is bigger. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to give the Lord glory and strength. I'm going to proclaim that God is stronger and bigger. Now, that's easy to say when I'm talking about your problem, but when it's my problem, it's not always easy to say. You know, when you're having health issues or you're having marital issues or you're depressed or you're discouraged and people say, hey, what about Sunday morning? What about that sermon Wednesday night? I thought God was bigger. And, you know, yeah. So we've got to proclaim it, whether we feel it or not. I have found that proclaiming it, even when I don't feel it, brings it. You hear what I'm saying? Proclaiming it, even when I don't feel it, brings it. And you know, I told you about a story, and I won't do the long detail of when I was in Abilene, Texas, and Deborah went home to mother with little Nathan, and there was some woman working down the hall, some civil service secretary, who said, you better get an attorney or you'll never see your son again. And I said, God is going to bring him back. And, you know, the doubters rolling their eyes. Okay, well, you try to help someone, and, you know, like, and the devil loves to do that. He loves to put that peer pressure on you, and inside your stomach's in knots, but you're saying what God wants you to say, whether you feel it or not. And then God does the rest. Amen. It works every time. So give the Lord the glory and the strength. Give the Lord the glory due his name. See, he's worthy of that. Look at that verse 8. Give the Lord the glory due his name. You know, his name deserves that. He deserves that. You know, when the apostles were being persecuted in the early church, and they went back and they praised God that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the name. You know, that's what Acts says. And, you know, we say, oh, well, the Lord, you know, I'm being persecuted. The devil's on me. Praise God! I must be doing something right. I'm suffering for the sake of the name, Jesus. And so give the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, the offering is the praise sometimes, amen, when you don't feel like it. It's not always about money. We could spend some time on that, but I'm not going to. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, if I come into the sanctuary and there's sin in my heart, I can't really worship the Lord until I say, Lord, I really don't want to face you because I did it again or I said it again or whatever. But I know I have to. I have to tell you, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said I wouldn't do it again. I did it again. Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Change my heart. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. And then he says, flies the blood and cleans me up. And then I worship the Lord. I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. See, it's beautiful for the Lord to see you through the blood of Jesus Christ. But he won't see you through the blood unless you ask him to forgive you and apply the blood. Amen? And so we have to keep our heart right before we can truly worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Now this is where we get into the section of the from praising the God to the coming judgment. Now look at verse 10 again. Say among the nations. So again, this is one of those witnessing things, right? Isn't it interesting that this psalm is not only about worshiping, and it's not only about judgment, but sandwiched in between praising God and his coming judgment is us telling people, right? And that's what we should be doing. If we really believe Jesus is coming soon, we better start telling people that Jesus is coming soon. And so he tells us to say among the nations, you know the Lord reigns, right? I said to someone once who was kind of poo-pooing me, I said, you know, they call it the judgment day. You do understand that, right? You know, I don't want to ever be misunderstood when I'm talking about the Lord coming. He's not coming like a lamb 2,000 years ago. He's coming like a lion. And he's coming to exercise judgment on a Christ-rejecting world. And so the Lord reigns, and the world is firmly established, and it won't be moved, and he shall judge the people righteously. You know, he knows. He knows the people who've been convicted and said, you know, yeah, I should go to church. You know, my mother raised me differently. But then they put it off. And they put it off. Now, those poor people are going to regret that putting off for all eternity. I mean, think about it. And so he says he will judge the peoples righteously. Now, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Now, why are the heavens rejoicing and the earth being glad that God is getting ready to judge? Well, the earth has drank innocent blood for thousands of years. And certainly for a lot of innocent blood since they passed abortion laws. And now there are abortions all over the world. The shedding of innocent blood doesn't just go back to the worship of Baal when they offer children on the idols. But they come present day to America and to Great Britain and to other nations that have legalized the killing of unborn children. And so the heavens and the earth are going to be glad one day because the Bible says that shedding innocent blood brings a curse upon the earth, brings a curse on the ground. And so here we see heaven and earth are getting glad that God's going to finally put a stop to this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That heavens is rejoicing and the earth is glad because they're saying, yeah, and let the sea roar and all of its fullness and let the fields be joyful and all that's in it and that all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord for he is coming to judge the earth. Woo! You didn't know that all of nature was preaching the second coming, did you? And so that's what they're doing. They're happy. There's finally a day of release that's coming. And I love how the Holy Spirit, who is the author, not David, not some other psalmist, says he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. Anytime you see the Lord repeat himself, verily, verily, I say unto you, you better take notice. Amen? And so the trees know it. The heavens know it. The earth knows it. The sea knows it. They're all happy about it. He's coming. He's coming to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Hallelujah. You know, truth is not subjective. I've had someone say, well, that's your truth. No, that is the truth. Have you heard me do my dollar bill thing I do to them? You know, because that's how people, they want to rationalize, you know, well, the Muslims believe this, and the Hindus believe this. I'll say, take this piece of paper, draw a dollar bill on it, cut it out, go to McDonald's and buy me a hamburger, and you here, make it a 20, go buy us dinner. Well, I can't do that. Sure you can. It's a $20 bill. No, it's not. That's not a $20 bill. We draw that it's a 20. We say that it's a 20, then it's a 20. You can't buy. You're right. You can't. There's only one $20 bill. Everything else is a counterfeit. And there's only one truth, and Jesus is he. He is the way and the truth and the life. And all the others are counterfeits. And you can take him to the bank. Amen. Amen. And so he says, he's coming. He's coming to judge the earth. He'll judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Notice it's his truth. It's not just truth. It's his truth. You know, well, that's your truth. That's his truth. That's her truth. No, this is his truth. You want to take it up with him? Go ahead. Amen. And so the psalm tells us, sing to the Lord. Sing a new song. Rejoice. Praise the Lord. And join, by the way, the trees and the ocean, the rocks, the earth, because the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming to judge his people in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this glorious reminder of the need to praise you, to worship you in holiness, and to rejoice along with all of nature that you are coming again very soon. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.